Muy buenas noches.
Good evening, Muramuche, in hearing the African language. May God bless you greatly in this occasion. Imana Ibahe Umuyishe, that is, God bless you to all the African people and to all the other brothers and sisters that are present, and to all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, and also through the Internet. Warm greetings to my friend, my brother, missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, who is also here in Kigali, Rwanda, Africa, with his wife Ruth, and others accompanying him, and it is truly a great blessing and a privilege to be able to be here with him in Kigali, Africa, and thus enjoy all the blessings that God has for each one of us here in Africa, and for every place where you will be seeing and hearing these activities. I am also accompanied by my wife, Sara Melendez, and also Julian Diaz and Jorge Alvarez, my sons-in-law, who have been a great blessing on this trip and what is left of this trip. May God bless them greatly as well. And to all those who are here, technicians and other people, and also especially our brother Bruno Cooper and his wife Lorena, who have been preparing these activities here along with the ministers here in Africa. May God bless them too and reward them all for everything they have been doing and preparing, the welcoming which has been very lovingly carried out by the ministers and some brethren who have already arrived these days. And there are some who are still on their way. They have left. They were telling me that they have been on the road for 5 days. That is, they have been traveling for 5 days, others 3 days, others 1 day, due to the distances. And they wish to be here accompanying us. May God bless you all. And I am very grateful for that entire welcoming that was so warm and lovely, which you gave us when we arrived. It is truly a blessing and a great privilege that the Lord grants me to be here in Africa, and thus to fulfill all the prophecies that were spoken by Reverend William Branham, which are fulfilled as God carries out his program. God always fulfills them in a simple way, and many times they are so simple, the way, or rather the way that God fulfills them is so simple that if we do not watch, we can overlook it, and we won't be able to see it, or we wouldn't see it. But notice that because the elect have that prophetic insight very sharp, well tuned, they would very much be in expectation of everything that is being carried out and will continue to be carried out, and what God would be fulfilling with this visitation here from now on. All the things that are going to be fulfilled, both not only in this visit, but later on as well. Let's turn here to the portion of the scripture which our brother William read to us there from the message that we will be playing today, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago, titled The Message for All Nations, which was preached on June 27 of 2008 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And let's search in the book of Revelation, in chapter 14, verse 6 and on, where it tells us, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." There on one of the Bibles he draws a Star of David on the right, and he writes Zechariah 4, and between the 6 and 7 verse he writes Revelation 10 from 1 to 11 and 11 from 3 to 14. And in the other Bible he also writes to the right, he writes those scriptures as well, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him." There on the left he draws a Star of David, "For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water." And above he writes there, Malachi 4 from 1 to 4, Revelation 14, 14 to 20, and 6 from 12 to 17. And on the other Bible above, he also writes Revelation 11 from 15 to 18, 6 from 12 to 19, and 19 from 1 to 6. And above those scriptures, he also writes the one of Revelation 18, verse 4 to 10, and 18 24, verse 24, and 17 from 1 to 7. The message for all nations. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message which was a trip that he, our brother William, carried out, and they titled it Central America Tour, which was in 1995 in El Salvador, where he spoke to us this portion here of this trip. He says here in this portion, "Now, the Gentile church is waiting for the revelation or manifestation of Christ, which is the manifestation of the ministry of Christ on the earth again. In the message, and knoweth it not, which was preached by Reverend William Branham, and knoweth it not," or "and know it not," sometimes it has that title. It tells us there on page 13 from the book in English, it says, "I am only building, the hour is close at hand, when you're going to see something happen, when something is going to take place, and all this background here has only been laying a foundation for a short, quick message that will shake the whole nations." And he writes there, "all nations," and on the left, going upwards, a message, the gospel of the kingdom. And at the front of that message, he writes there, "I am laying the foundation for a short, quick message that will shake the whole nations." And above quick message, he writes the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, our brother William continues to say here, "And a group of believers have been waiting for the manifestation of Elijah, because the ministerial spirit of Elijah in his fourth manifestation said, 'I will ride this trail again.' And they are expecting him literally. Yet whenever it has been written again, that has been in another man, and that requires a new age, and in the last day, a new dispensation. Now, look, he said that there in the book of Quotations, there is an excerpt on page 166. On the paragraph 1485, it says, "Now, I was getting pretty old, and I thought, will there be another revival? I'll see another time. And just remember, from the west will come a white horse rider, will ride this trail again." And there he writes above, we will ride 5th Elijah and 2nd Moses. That's right. Soon as we get ready, it's a promise, you see. And if it is a promise, notice, it is in the Bible, which is Revelation chapter 19. There on the right, he writes above, the west, there will come a white horse rider. In other words, in the west, colon, there at the bottom, but all that going upwards into one or two or three sentences. The west, colon, below that, there will come a, and below that, white horse rider. And above the paragraph, he writes there, we will ride this trail again. In 1496, he also tells us there, in a part of this message on the wings of a snow-white dove, the excerpt is from there, from page 168, in the paragraph 1496, why me, an old man, suffered all my life? Why did he heal me now? I believe I will ride this trail again. And he writes, 5th Elijah, above that, I got to bring a message. And he writes, year of Jubilee. And I say to my father tonight, as Junior seen in a dream the other night of the wings of this dove moving in these windows here, Lord, your servant is reporting for service. And there at the bottom he writes, a message will come. And above that he writes, new equals year of Jubilee, the gospel of the kingdom. And above that he writes, 5th Elijah, the gospel of the kingdom. I will ride this trail again. I got to bring a message of the year of Jubilee. I got to bring a message of the year of Jubilee. Now, notice, also here in 1441, let's see, there of page 162, she will turn at the west and ride. Above he writes, 5th Elijah, back again, one of these days. Just remember, she sure will, and that's right. And that's right. And above that, he writes, ride in the west again. Now notice that the people in Brother Branham's time, when he left, they thought that he was going to return to fulfill everything he prophesied, everything that he spoke. but he didn't do. In other words, he didn't do in that body, that is, the Holy Spirit operating the ministry of Elijah in its fourth manifestation, that he did not carry out in that instrument in Reverend William Branham. People and many followers of the message of Brother Branham, they are still waiting for him to return to fulfill that promise, that prophecy. Now, notice that our brother William clarifies us here and shows us that whenever God has operated in ministry that he operated in the past, it is not that he rises up that first one. For example, Elijah's Tishbit, the first Elijah, it is not that he rises him up again, nor Elisha, to fulfill the promise of the forerunner of the first coming of the Lord, which was John the Baptist in the spirit and power of Elijah in his third manifestation. He didn't rise up Elisha to carry out that promise, that work that the Holy Spirit was going to carry out and that was going to be operating the ministry of Elijah in his third manifestation. He raised up another man and operated that ministry in that new man, in that new garment. Now, notice that there are still people waiting for Brother Branham. And then, notice that Brother Branham himself thought that that promise of converting the Hebrew people to Christ was going to be fulfilled in him. And already there in Cairo, the angel said no. Now, why did he let him go all the way over there? God was showing the people what that work that would be carried out by the ministry of Elijah would be like, which would come accompanied by the ministry of Moses. Therefore, it couldn't be Brother Branham because the Holy Spirit was not operating the ministry of Moses in Brother Branham, and he was also in the dispensation of grace, and that was to be carried out in the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, notice our Brother William here in this year, 1995, even then, look at what he goes on to say further on. Let's continue here. Remember that God gives the prophets more light and more light as their ministry grows. He doesn't give it to them all at once. That is why he, in 98, 99, around there, in a minister's meeting, he spoke very clear and said, what was spoken in the decade of the 70s must be reviewed. It has to be reviewed by missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin. And don't put the messages that were spoken back then exactly like that, because God has already showed more light on everything that was brought in that time. Whoever does that is irresponsible, and it is not obedient to what he said. And notice that as you go deeper in this time into the dispensation of the kingdom, you see more and more light on what was brought in that time. And now you take a message that our brother William preached, and in the light of what God has given us today, we can see the clear picture of everything that was brought, and that entire foundation that was laid through Reverend William Branham and through Dr. William Soto Santiago, who was a messenger that brought the good tidings, the news, like the other messengers who brought good tidings and good news in their time. But this particular messenger was that angel who was there between John the Baptist and Jesus, because between John the Baptist and the fulfillment of the want for Ron, there wouldn't be another messenger in between other than the Archangel Gabriel. And in this time, between the fourth Elijah and the fifth Elijah, there is no half Elijah. In the fourth Elijah, where the Holy Spirit operated the ministry of Elijah in its fourth manifestation and the ministry of the two olive trees, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, there is no fourth and a half Elijah, nor is there another messenger, only one messenger, the Archangel Gabriel, who was manifested in the midst of the church, bringing us those good tidings which he, our brother Branham, spoke to us on paragraph 282 from the Book of Quotations, which corresponds to page 33. And standing there was an angel, the mighty Gabriel. He is a messenger to the Jews. Remember, Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ. The angel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. The Bible said so. And above he writes, Gabriel equals announces the second coming of Christ. And he also writes to the left, Gabriel. Now, notice that he brought his message, which he spoke in that meeting in Argentina, where he said, I have been sent from the presence of God to bring these good tidings. Where did that archangel come from? From the presence of God. Remember that Gabriel and Michael stands before the presence of God. They are type and figure of Moses and Elijah on earth, in the instrument in which God is fulfilling that promise. And he comes from the presence of God, and he said, I have been sent from the presence of God to bring these good tidings, this news. The faster I give it, the faster I can go. See? He come to bring and carry out that work and leave. He didn't come to bring the rapturing faith to take his bride. Rather, he came with a purpose and left. He will come back in the resurrection. We will see him. But when he returns, the elect of God will already be placed in the age of the cornerstone and the dispensation of the kingdom. And they will all have the rapturing faith. And thus, they will be able to see those who are going to resurrect. Those who do not receive the rapturing faith won't obtain the rapturing faith. That is, they won't have the transformation. They won't be able to see those who will resurrect, as simple as that. Now, our brother William continues to say, and whenever it has been written again, that has been in another man, and that requires a new age at the last day, a new dispensation, because when it is written once more, and for the last time, he writes it with Moses on page 57 of the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 494. It says, the spirit of Elijah, and above that he writes, fifth Elijah. The spirit of Elijah of this Gentile church will just continue right on into that Jewish church, and there an arrow from the seventh age and towards the cornerstone, because on the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages. In other words, it comes out from the church, out of the dispensation of grace, which the church has been in for 2,000 years. He comes out of there, but he comes and calls Moses with him. It is the first time that the ministering spirit of Elijah ministers in the most holy place, because he comes accompanied by the ministry of Moses, which is a ministry of a dispensational messenger. Go right on in and call Moses with him. You see it? And he circles, and he, because he is an instrument in whom the Holy Spirit will be operating those ministries, and the ministry of Jesus for the second time. And he will preach the same message of Pentecost to those Jews. And he writes there, year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25. That they rejected the Messiah. Amen. You see it? It'll be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. And above that, he writes, Moses and Elijah, and to the left, going upwards, he writes, the Jewish age, the Gentile age, below. And on the Jewish age, he writes, dispensation of the kingdom and age of the cornerstone with a little cornerstone. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore he writes it in a new dispensation and in a new age, for the Gentile church ages have already ended, therefore it has to be in a new age, the age of the cornerstone. Notice, here, Brother William is prophesying, because look, in the book of the seals, on page 104, our Brother Branham tells us here, who is bringing a revelation of what it would be like when he left the throne of intercession. On page 104, he says, notice, here he comes, leaves the throne as an intercessor, as a slain lamb, to become a lion, king, to bring the whole world into judgment that's rejected. Our kinsman redeemer then is king over all. Why? He's got the title deed of redemption. It all lays within his hand. Without the title deed, there cannot be transformation, there cannot be rapture, and there cannot be a claim. I am glad I know him, see? Then claims his inheritance. That's the church, the bride. He claims it. What does he do then? He disposes of his contestant, Satan. He throws him into the lake of fire with all those who was inspired by Satan to reject his word of redemption. He is now king. All those, notice, those who don't receive the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels are inspired from where? They are inspired by Satan. Mercy is still on the throne. Don't you reject his offer, see? After he says everything, and in previous pages, he spoke as if he had already left the throne of intercession. He is bringing a revelation of what it would be like when that would happen. He says, mercy is still on the throne. Don't you reject his offer, see? The writers know just who you are. Now, notice what our brother William continues to say here. And since the dispensation of grace has come to an end, then it must be in a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, which will have the ministries of Jesus Christ, Moses, and Elijah. Now, notice how our brother William tells us here in 95, and he tells us that the dispensation of grace has come to an end. But you see that later, on 2000, and later on, already getting to 2015, 2018, he still speaks to us there, and he tells us that the door of the dispensation of grace is about to close, and the previous year, around 2002, around then on, he tells us that the dispensation of grace is still open, and that the second coming of the Lord hasn't been fulfilled yet. It hasn't been carried out, because notice that for the fulfillment of that promise, which is the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, that is, with the ministries of Moses and Elijah, that is, for the dispensation of the kingdom. Therefore, God was not fulfilling that promise in the dispensation of grace. He was conversing, talking with the spiritual Mary, as he conversed with Mary there in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord. In the message that we are going to see today and here, look, on page 6, he tells us there, he says, that was what the Holy Spirit said to the Virgin Mary. Just as Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ, he will announce the second coming of Christ, Reverend William Branham says. And how is he going to do that? Let's leave that alone there. Remember that the Virgin Mary there, the Virgin Mary represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, there will be a conversation with the church, an angelic conversation, a letter leave it there because the church, the virgin, it was says, and there he continues the message. But notice that angel had that conversation with the church, an angelic conversation, because he said, I have been sent from the presence of God. And the church bride had that conversation with Dr. William Soto Santiago, as simple as that. Now, if they can locate who that messenger was, everything will make sense. But when they try to put together the fulfillment of the ministries relevant to the age of the cornerstone and the dispensation of the kingdom in him, that is when they put, as Brother Branham says, then they will get all tangled up and put the cow eating on top of the tree, which they also use all of that to fight against the divine program. Because as you hear, and it has to be like that, because the third pool is for all the groups. And when you see, and the chosen ones themselves see that they comment or talk or post what has been spoken, and also the activities, they comment on the activities and the messages and everything, there the elect says, look, the third pool impacting all the groups, because each group, starting from the bride, the church, the foolish as church, the lost, and even the 144,000 must all hear the voice of the Son of Man, the voice of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels in the midst of mankind, in the fulfillment of the third pool. And later on, in the message, souls that are in prison today, there, he says that in the end, let's look for it here, in this message, where he says that in the end, they have to or will have to recognize him. On page 39 of this message, in the last paragraph, going to the page number 40, it says, and notice when the third pool of his ministry come, the first was healing the sick, the second was rebuking the organizations and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming, what is, will come, and what was, what is, and what will come. That's what he done, is that right? But his third pull was when he preached to the lost that couldn't be saved no more. They were down there where them big painted eyes was, preached to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy. Now, remember that the fifth dimension at this end time would be opened and is being opened on this earth. Therefore, those ministries don't have to go there. The fifth dimension is already so far, so very far along, but so is the sixth dimension for the elect being opened in this dimension, where you can see, notice, what the condition of this world is. And because it, the third pool is for the lost hears too, the foolish hears too, and the bride hears as well, and the 144,000 as well, the two southern tribes of Judah and of Benjamin, they also hear. Now notice, he says, preached to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy. And mercy, there in the time of Noah, it says that he preached to the souls that are in prison, which were disobedient in the time of Noah. Now, notice what Brother Branham says here. But were eternally separated from the presence of God, but yet they had to recognize it, what he was, because God made him there. And on the left, he draws a Star of David, and above that, he writes, in the third pool, they had to recognize him. That is how it was in the first coming of the Lord, and that is how it is in this end time. That is why everyone hears. And those who do not want to listen directly, they send listeners to listen so that they can inform them. And from there, they prepare everything to attack, to blaspheme, to criticize, and to do the work that pertains to them. And the foolish ones, see, some are blotted out of the book of life if they put themselves in that position as well. And if they have not crossed the line, then they are strengthened and they are prepared to go through the Great Tribulation and give their lives there. And then after the millennium, they will come out well in that last judgment and enter into eternity. Unlike those who are removed, the scaffold, the buckets, the shovels, that is, the dropped ceilings, and all that is removed, meaning they are people who are removed, blotted out of the life of the Book of Life, as well as those who are not written there in the Book of Life, who are also part of that group, which all unite and also carry out that work of fighting against the divine program. And what God promised through the prophets, as recent as the Apostle Paul, even more recent, Reverend William Branham, and even more recent, Dr. William Soto Santiago, everything they spoke is what God is fulfilling today in the midst of the church. He that is of God hears the voice of God. He that is not of God, well, he won't hear the voice of God. In other words, he won't hear it to receive these blessings that the Son of Man is bringing to the church. Remember that the coming of the Son of Man with his angels brings blessings, but he also brings curses. Blessings to those who receive him, curses to those who reject him. As simple as that. Now, he continues to say here, those are the ministries that are going to be adopted or will be adopted already for the dispensation of the kingdom for the last day. Because in order to carry out that work, it must be those ministries. Those ministries, they must be adopted, which we have already read in other messages of Dr. William Soto Santiago, where he says that adoption is one thing and the transformation is another, although in many messages he puts them as only one. And also here, further on, we will see that he says our adoption, our transformation, or the adoption is the eternal and glorified body, or the adoption and transformation is the manifestation of that eternal and glorified body that he will give us. See? Along those lines. But he tries to keep quiet what that mystery of an adopted child of God is, which we saw in Jesus in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord, when he was adopted there on Mount Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John were, and where those ministries were carrying out the work of adoption of that son. Then he came down from there, the same, that is, his face and everything was the same, but he was already adopted. Because in order to carry out that work of redemption, that ministry had to be adopted. And to carry out the claiming work, that ministry of the two olive trees have to be adopted. He says, those are the ministries that are going to be adopted or will be adopted for the dispensation of the kingdom at the last day, so that every promise that God has made in his word will be fulfilled, where he said that Elijah will be the one that will take the message to the Hebrew people, and also that will be sent to his Gentile church at the last day. The ministry of Elijah will be there. On page 362 from the Book of the Seals in English, it tells us, look at Moses' ministry. Elijah was a prophet to all nations, but Moses was a lawgiver to the Jews only. And he writes Moses, that is, to the right, he writes Moses to all nations, the right foot, and Elijah, the left foot, or vice versa. Amen. Moses is there to say, the reason he come with Elijah, them Jews saying, wait, we are still keeping the law here. But here stands Moses himself, and here is Elijah standing with him. Oh, see, he comes to the Jews only. See, Moses only went to the Jews. The prophet Elijah was to all nations. But Moses became a prophet to the Jews and a lawgiver. See, that was his message, the law. But what was Elijah's message? To bobbed-haired women, denominations, yes sir. And he really tore them to pieces, painted up faces, told them, you're going to be fed to the dogs. He just really tore into them. And on the right, he also writes there, Moses brought the judgment to Egypt, Gentile kingdom, a type of the kingdom of the beast. Our brother William continues to say, and when we speak of the ministry of Moses, which is the ministry that can move the Hebrew people from the law to the kingdom, the ministry of Moses will be operating there. No other ministry can operate because Moses was the one who gave them the law. That ministry was the one who gave the law to the people, and that is the only ministry that can operate to move them from the law to the kingdom. On page 2a from the book of quotations, now notice that none of the messengers in which God was carrying out a work and which already left, none of them carried out that work. Remember that those ministries would be operated in a new age, a new dispensation, not in the dispensation of grace, where they were all ministering. Now, look, remember that from one dispensation to another, there are intertwinings, and if you are not watching, you may think that you are in a dispensation, the next one, or you can think that you are in the previous one. Now, on page 2a, on the paragraph 15, he says, that's the reason I'm praying. That's the reason I'm crying to God, Lord, I want to get to those Jews. Let me start in down there in Africa, work with a few of those Gentiles and Mohammedans, and let me go over here in India and try to produce and show to them the real Lord Jesus Christ with his power, his miracles, his baptism, everything, and the Holy Ghost. And there he writes on the right, let's see here. From the bottom to the top, he writes, Moses and Elijah and the 144,000, we are going to get there already. It says, or he goes on to say, then, when they come to Jerusalem, Brother Beeler, this is what you were asking about, when they come to Jerusalem and stand out there and say, and there on the left, he draws a Star of David. Now, if Jesus is the Son of God that raised from the dead, he knows the things just like he did back there in the beginning. He can produce the same life that he did back there. And if he does, will you accept him as your personal Savior? And then show that God, by his great power and things of his resurrected power, he's with us. Then, when they do that, say, now, you that have received him as your personal Savior, I hope there will be thousands of them. Say, the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost is right here for you. Then the gospel goes back to the Jews right there at that time. Then there will be a revival amongst those Jews right there that'll carry thousands and tens of thousands and 144,000 into the kingdom of God. Will be sealed by the sealing angel. And there he writes Moses. And right there, because Moses, notice, what we read was the lawgiver, therefore they will receive. That is why they receive him. And right there, as soon as that sealing angel began to seal that 144,000, the Gentile church door is closed, and the Jews take the Holy Ghost to the Jews. Now, notice that the door of the dispensation of grace is already closed. Now, a work began a bit earlier, where there must always be a beginning. Notice, a work is carried out in those intertwinings, but it is a simple way in which God fulfills it, where when you listen and read everything relevant to that program and that prophecy, then you see it in a certain way, where if the person doesn't have prophetic insight, then they cannot see it. With the dispensation of grace closed, that process is already in fulfillment. Now, notice it says, and they will have a revival that'll sweep the entire world. Hallelujah. And the power of God will be manifested among the Jews. On the left, going upwards, he writes Revelation 7, verse 2, 11, from 3 to 7, and 14, verse 1. Those are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and that is the angel who comes with the seal of the living God. On the right is where he writes from the bottom. He writes, Moses and Elijah and the 144,000. And above that he writes, the angel equals Moses and Elijah and the 144,000 Jews. Now, our brother William continues to say, and the Hebrew people are waiting for Elijah, and they are also waiting for Moses, and they are also waiting for the Messiah. They are waiting for the Son of David. And that is why these ministries must be repeated at the last day in a new age, the age of the cornerstone, and in a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, notice, look, why must those ministries be manifested? Now, the work that is being carried out is what he promised, which Brother Branham told us on page 243. He says, of the Book of the Seals in English. Now, that's the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real steering. No, no, sir. Don't think that we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No, no, the bride hasn't had a revival yet. See, there's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to steer the bride yet. See, we're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. See, he'll send it. He promised it. Now, what will that mighty angel be bringing? The thunders be proclaiming? Let's see here on page 123 from the book in English. It says, and at the end of the Pentecostal age, we are supposed to receive according to the word, and God help me tonight to show you through here that we are to see, receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God for the rapturing of the church. And then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for the rapturing faith. See, What those seven thunders contain? The rapture in faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step farther. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. Now, notice here as well, in this message titled God's Power to Transform, on page 6, it tells us there. This is in the paragraph 31 of this message. It's an old familiar text that many of you pastors have used down through your time. He had read a Bible verse before that, which is in Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, which says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, good, acceptable and perfect will of God." He says there, it's an old familiar text that many of you pastors have used down through your time. It's been used since it was written. But yet, one thing about the Word of God, it never grows old. Because it's God, it never grows old. Through every generation now, for pretty near about 2,800 years, or better, Word of God has been read by men, priests, and so forth. And there on the right, he writes, to 2,800, and never does it grow old. I've been reading it myself for some 35 years, and each time I read it, I find something new that I overlooked for the first time, because it is inspired. It is God in the letter form. See? It's the attribute of God speaking forth and placed on paper. And to the right, he writes, the Bible is God in letter form. Many times, men said, well, now, man wrote this Bible. No, the Bible says itself that God wrote the Bible. It's the Word of God. It can never fail. Jesus said, heavens and earth will fail, pass away, but my words shall never fail. And it cannot fail, and being God, because it's part of Him. And then, you being His son and daughter, you are a part of it. And that makes you a part of Him. That's why we come to fellowship together around the Word of God. Now, this word transformed, I looked it up in the dictionary yesterday when I almost lost track of the time that I was to be up here when I was looking for the text, and I found this word, or this text, rather, scripture. And in the dictionary it says that is something that's changed. That is, he looked up the word transformed in the dictionary, and he says that it is something that's changed. He says, it is to be changed, transformed. There he circles changed. I'm on page 7 now. Made different than what it was. It's been its character and everything that's been changed in it to transformed. Thinking this morning in Genesis 1, this world was without form, and it was a void, and darkness was upon the earth, nothing but a complete chaos. And when this world was in that condition, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and the entire picture was changed from a total chaos to a garden of Eden. that is transforming power of God that can take something that's nothing and make something wonderful of it. God's transforming power. And he writes there, and it moves upon the nations and transforms people. And it moves upon the nations and transforms people. Just as it transformed back in Genesis, it says that God's Spirit moved upon the face of the water, and that all that picture was changed from total chaos to a Garden of Eden. Today, the Holy Spirit is upon the waters, upon the nations, moving and transforming people. We are in Africa today. The Holy Spirit has moved to Africa, and with his mighty wings, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, he is carrying out a work which the Spirit of God has already been carrying out. But notice that in his fulfillment, in the materialization, the realization of that work, today, in the dispensation of the kingdom, it is fulfilled, where people who live here in Africa have come up to the age of the cornerstone, and notice, they are being transformed from within their attitudes, the way they speak, the way they dress, and everything that is not right before God. God helps them. They are being transformed, notice, and that is done by the Spirit of God, which is covering the nations. Now, notice that there was a ministry in Africa which was being operated by the Holy Spirit in our beloved brother William Branham, forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, with the Spirit and power of Elijah in its fourth manifestation. And you are already familiar with everything that was spoken and everything that that ministry did in its time in the midst of the African people. And what he did not carry out, what he did not fulfill yet, which would be fulfilled at this end time. But remember that as time goes by, things are fulfilled in a present-day manner, and perhaps many expect things to be fulfilled a certain way, or the way that it was being carried out in those times, to the point that when God carries out the fulfillment of that, they overlook it. Remember that he said that every congregation should have their screens and be prepared, even stadiums and all of that, which we are going to read a little further here in this study, because notice that the third pool impacts all the nations. And how can all nations be covered? Through the broadcasts. And that way, everyone is aware and tuned into what would be happening in one place. Therefore, there we see a quick work, a message circling the earth quickly, but it has a process, and it must carry out certain things that only the instrument can carry out in each step that he takes. But then, as once he carries out certain things, that stage starts opening already in a larger and more extensive way. But it always starts in a simple way, and not much information is given, because this student of the tutor of the Holy Spirit was well instructed in that, in prudence, so that impersonators and imitators don't rise up to carry out the same thing and harm the people who would be receiving that promise through the original, through the instrument that God already has for that purpose. Therefore, he will be doing everything under the eternal name of the Lord, and that instrument will be doing everything according to the blueprint. He will not stray one way or the other. Rather, he will always be right in the center of what the Holy Spirit guides him, and he will keep to himself things that he has to keep to himself. But the elect will know that he will come in the name of the Lord, and that everything that he is carrying out is led by the Holy Spirit. The rest will be seen to them. That guy is an impostor. This guy is being anointed by another dimension and different things, as it happened in the time of Jesus, because it is parallel in everything. And you have to look for the equivalent. Back then, there was mockers and imitators and all those who spoke against the first coming of the Lord. So look here for the equivalent now. Everyone that you see mocking, criticizing, blaspheming, and speaking badly against the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, that is the equivalent of what was there in the first, back there in the first coming of the Lord, as simple as that. When the elect identifies that, then they start to see who God's elect are, who the foolish are, and who the unbelievers are. And all that is because they, the elect, are receiving the rapturing faith, the content of that title deed, which is the seventh seal being opened, and that gives God's elect all that knowledge, all that wisdom that the rest cannot obtain. Now, our brother William continues to say here, now, notice what we read when we arrived. Let's turn to that quote for a moment, because look, it's 13:25. We read it when we arrived here at the airport, which I restate, that beautiful welcoming that the brethren gave us there. Look, on page 149 of the paragraph 1325, it says, I said, remember, I have tried to get into Africa for years again, feeling that my ministry isn't finished in Africa. I have no... Why would I have to go to Africa when I got 600-700 cities right here in the United States calling? That is, people calling to him, for him to go. I can also say, when I have so many invitations there in the Americas, even in the United States or in Central America and South America, and in so many places, and not having to come on such long trip, I took almost, I think it was almost 31 hours, from 30 to 31 hours from the time we left until we arrived. That is counting the flights and the connections in which we waited. Some we waited for 2 hours, others the waits were a bit longer. There were 3 planes that we took, that we got on to come here to Kigali. It was a long trip, and God strengthened us, and thank God we are here. And then, receiving that vitamin, that medicine there, of that love and affection when we arrived, oh, that with that one forgets the tiredness and gained strength, and listening to the brethren singing, praising God, and receiving us with that great love, truly, one would make the trip as many times as we would like to come, just to see those faces of joy, of happiness, from seeing one of us who came and seeing me here in Africa in their midst. It was worth it, and it is worth it, to come to all the places where there are people who receive you this way. Now, look, and in Latin America as well, every time we go to places, that welcome in the auditoriums is very beautiful, and all the brethren receive me with great affection. But notice that here, Brother Branham said, but I have so many activities here, and so many people calling me to go, why do I have to go there? See, there was that restlessness in Brother Branham, and it was the Holy Spirit putting that restlessness in him. Because notice, it is the ministry of Elijah. Therefore, Elijah, in his fifth manifestation, would have that same restlessness. Wish I had that same restlessness. And look, now, today, that desire to be here is already being fulfilled, because it is the same Holy Spirit. Now, he says, see, just right here, without leaving Canada, Mexico, or any of those places, why should I want to go there? But it is something in my heart that pulls me to Africa. Remember that the heart is the soul, and it is something placed there in the most holy place, notice. And by being in the most holy place, the Holy Spirit operating those ministries, automatically that instrument moves there, being anointed by the Holy Spirit to carry out that work in every place where he has to go. But notice that there were things that were not fulfilled in Brother Branham. Now, in our Brother William, there were many invitations to go to Africa, and yet he never came. He was careful not to do that. He was very prudent about not taking or going to a place that didn't pertain to him. But see, he visited Israel, but all of that had a purpose. Now, notice that Brother Branham was actually allowed to go to Africa, and he was almost taken to the limit there to then bring him back. Now, notice that this pertained to the ministry of Elijah in his fifth manifestation, which is what is being fulfilled today. But it is something in my heart that pulls me to Africa. That's where the Lord called me, and now they are needy. Many of those people, those white people can have doctors and everything, but them poor natives live out there and have rot. I feel they are the one that looks like they would receive it, and I believe we will have one of the greatest meetings that's been had in Africa. Why? Because notice that with the coming of the fifth Elijah, it is the fulfillment of certain prophecies, but notice that the content of the rapturing faith is there, and what is greater on this earth for a human being to receive the rapturing faith, because with rapturing faith one has everything. Now notice that later on certain things will be carried out where all of Africa will be impacted, but everything starts progressively. Now, our Brother William continues to say here in this message, titled, The Seven Rewards to the Overcomer, The Reward of the Faithful and Wise Servant, which was preached on July 23 of 2000 in Guatemala City, Guatemala. It tells us, and now, Christ is creating sons and daughters of God in His image, first of all, and then when He gives us the new body in His likeness. But first, they have to be created in His image, which is the theophanic body, the image of God. The image of Christ is His theophanic body, and the likeness is His physical body, which He created in the womb of the Virgin Mary. cell after cell grew in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and thus the body of Jesus was formed, which was born in Bethlehem of Judea. In the message, Desperations, there on page 7, at the bottom, 7 to turning to the 8, he says, how could they understand that the great Messiah was prophesied from the beginning of the book of in Genesis, that he would come a Savior? All sacrifices and all prophets and everything had pointed to him, and when he come, supposedly to be illegitimate birth, a father that was not even married to his mother, supposedly, see? And the woman was found pregnant with the baby before they was even married. And he come up in such and born in a little, well, it says a stable in the Bible, but a stable in them days was a cave back in the wall. I met such a place out in Arizona one time hunting. There was a stable back under a cliff of rocks. And that was the way Jesus was born, back in the little cliff stable on a manger of hay and straw in a cow barn, see, where stock was, and was raised up as a carpenter's helper. And how could that be the mighty Jehovah? But it was, see? It was, see? Very odd sort of a person, but oh, when he was just a boy, he understood the priests by knowing that word. Because why? He was the word, see? He was the word. He never wrote a book. He never wrote a word. The only word he ever wrote, I guess, he raised it out in the sand. When a woman had been taken in adultery, he never wrote a word. Why? He was the word, see? He was the word. He didn't have to write it. There on the left, he draws a Star of David. His life lifted. He was the word. If I don't do the works of my Father, then believe me not. See, if I do not do exactly what the word said I would do, then I'm not the word. But if that's what he meant, he is the word. Now, our brother William continues saying, and after living on earth for 33 years, we find that his ministry began in his life at almost 30 years old. And when it had already been about 3 years, he went up to Mount Transfiguration. He was adopted there and then had a higher stage in his ministry. From that point on, a stage in which he was already adopted to carry out the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. Notice what we spoke some minutes ago. It was a work in which he was already adopted. Notice that the work that he carried out was progressive. That ministry grew until it reached that part where he was already going to carry out that work. Look, in today's message, there he tells us about the ministry of Moses and Elijah, that is, the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, on page 12 or 13. Look, it says, that is the one who has the message for all nations at the end time. When Christ takes the title deed, he hadn't taken it there. That is why in several messages he said, he hasn't risen from the throne of intercession yet. The title deed is still in the right hand of God. See, everything that he spoke in all the messages was a prophecy. It was a revelation of what it would be when he would stand up from the throne of intercession, take the title deed, bring it open to the earth, and give it to a man to eat it. That in this time, which he is speaking here, had not been carried out yet, and this was in 2008. And still, see, later on, in 2017 and 18, he also spoke that way and a little bit more clearly already. Now, because remember that he couldn't openly speak about that mystery of the seventh seal, because that would be opened when he would be He would be taken from the throne of intercession when he would stand up from the throne of intercession when the last elect would come in, and the book would be opened, the seventh seal would be opened, which is in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. In other words, the opening of the seventh seal marked the end of the dispensation of grace and the beginning of the dispensation of the kingdom, and that was for to be opened by the final ministry. That dispensational ministry, which is the last messenger that the church would be receiving at this end time. After that last one, there is no other. After the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, Reverend William Branham, when he said, "I must decrease and he must increase," or "he must increase and I must decrease," he was referring to that final messenger, that messenger who is alive at this end time, which is the messenger of the dispensation of the kingdom. He was not referring to Dr. William Soto Santiago. To put it more clearly, he was referring to the one that he was forerunning. Because if you don't place the ministry of our brother William Soto Santiago in the relevant place, you will get all tangled up. When you place it in the relevant place, there you will understand and you will comprehend. But remember that the coming of the Lord is for those who love His coming, and it is for those who are going to be transformed. Whoever is not going to be transformed will never manage to receive nor see that revelation, even if it is in front of them, as he said there, that the seventh seal would appear before them. But notice, many will overlook it, but not the elect. They will identify it, and they will see who is inside that instrument. Now, he says here in this message that we will be seeing and hearing today, that is the one who has the message for all the nations at the end time. When Christ takes the title deed, opens it in heaven, and brings it to earth, he will give it to that man, and consequently, he will be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where will he be? In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't be in the sixth dimension. He will be on earth in the midst of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he rises up from the throne, he says, he will take the deed and give it to that man, and therefore that man must be among the human race, because there is no restoration, there is no claim, there is no eternal and glorified body, there is no resurrection, nor transformation, nor rapture without the title deed. The title deed has to be on earth, where? Incarnate in a man, because wherever the word is, it is veiled. He will give it to that man, and consequently he will be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be growing from faith to faith, from knowledge to knowledge. See? He will be growing day by day. He grows from faith to faith, that is, from revelation to revelation, which the Holy Spirit gives him. And notice that it started there. Let's put a date on it, around 2021 at the end, but it started before then. But notice, all of that was an interlacing, and more prominently at the end of 2021, and notice, 2022, and the Lord gave more light, and more light, and more light, and it went, grew from faith to faith, just like Brother William, notice, in 74, and before that, and afterwards, up to 77, everything was focused on Brother Branham, because God gave him more revelation, more light, and more light. And then, later on, he thought it was in him that everything was fulfilled, as it was with Brother Branham. But then, later on, Brother William himself sees, oh, but now I understand my ministry, now I know what I have been sent for, and he spoke it there. I have been sent from the presence of God to give these good tidings. The sooner I give them, the sooner I can leave. Because he then identified himself in the scriptures, and he didn't bring that before, which he had already received beforehand, and he spoke it at the very end already, and during the last final year, years of his ministry, and that is what the last ministry is like. The fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, it begins in a progressive way. And notice, we began all of that basis that was spoken there, and the focus was that it was our brother William Soto Santiago. But notice, God continued giving more light, and it happened like the little boy who looked himself in the mirror. He had never seen a mirror, and they went, that is, that story that Brother Branham says, and the mother with the boy went to visit the city there, and they entered the house, and he says that there was a mirror, or a mirror was there, and the little boy passed by, and he looked, and he turned, hey, there's a little boy there, and he would move, and the little boy would move, and he would raise his hand, and the little boy would raise his hand. Notice, he would do and make certain actions. Surely he would speak, and the little mirror boy would move his lips. Oh, but he's also talking. He would shake his head, and the little boy would move his head, but he realized. Remember, in other words, remember that the mirror, when Brother Branham said, look at your reflection, the mirror of the Word, which is the Bible. There that instrument was seeing himself in the mirror of the Word, and when he spoke and spoke and spoke, and then he said, but it is me. I'm the fulfillment of that promise. See, he was growing, and he has been growing from faith to faith, and he says there, and he will be growing from faith to faith, from knowledge to knowledge, and when he receives the title, he will be adopted. Notice that in order to carry out that work, he has to be adopted, the claiming work. Now, there he puts a comma there, but there he puts it as if it was together. The transformation will come for him and also for all the elect of that time. Without that title deed, there will be no adoption. We will be adopted physically with an eternal body, and therefore to the physical eternal life. And we are about to read and hear that message shortly. Now notice, in this message as well, titled with our eyes focused on the completion of God's program, which was preached on December 13 of 2008 in Bogota, Colombia. This message says here, therefore, with our eyes focused on the completion that is promised to be carried out in a tent cathedral, but from there it will spread through television, satellites, and internet to all the nations. You see, with our eyes focused on the completion of God's program, we work wholeheartedly in the whole program or divine project of that tent to appear. And we also pray for the ministries that will operate there to appear, and for the pillar of fire to appear, and for the angel of the covenant to appear there. In other words, notice, it still was not being manifested in that ministry that the Holy Spirit was operating there in our brother William. The ministry of Moses and Elijah was not being manifested, and what Brother Branham saw hadn't been fulfilled at that time, that the pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant, would be in a great tent cathedral, and those ministries would be present there. Here he is prophesying, and here he gave us a great revelation, but notice, at that time, no one understood that, but now that he left, well, consequently, we have to find a living instrument, because God always works through a veil of flesh. And notice that there, he says, and we also pray for the ministries that will operate there to appear. Which ministries was he referring to? To the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and also, he says, and for the pillar of fire to appear. Now, our brother William continues to say here, that will be the last visitation for the church before being transformed and raptured, taken with by Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that will have a worldwide character. Notice, that will be the last manifestation of God, that is, of the Holy Spirit operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah and of Jesus in the midst of the church, before the rapture, before the transformation and rapture. Now, notice, we had the manifestation of the Holy Spirit operating the spirit and power of Elijah in his fourth manifestation in Reverend Winam Branham, and we also have the conversation with the Archangel Gabriel in the midst of his church, bringing us the good tidings. And the last manifestation to the church is the fulfillment of the seventh seal of the angel who was different from the rest, as simple as that. It is parallel in every way to the first coming of the Lord. Even if it is operated from one place, Brother William says, as we have the faculties of radio, press, and television, and internet, there will be no limitations of distance or time, and what will be happening there will be repeated in many nations, because they will be seeing everything, and there will be no limitations to receive the same benefit that the people who will be present there will be receiving. Notice that everything is in an updated, modern way. What in other times would require them to go personally, now with all the advancement, notice, certain things are carried out and are fulfilled, but then later on you can already see on a larger scale without limitations and even without going to the place. But notice, he had spoken to us that if there was time to give a tour, that if that third pool, which is the seventh seal, could give a tour, then it would be done. And notice, God has fulfilled that word as well. A tour has been made and is being made in some places as far as God allows us to have those trips. But notice that everything is fulfilling scriptures. And then afterwards, God will continue carrying out and fulfilling prophecies and scriptures until the moment already comes when the fulfillment of all of them will reach its end in the stage until we are transformed, because afterward prophecies will continue being fulfilled, the ones relevant to the 30 to 40 days, the ones relevant to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the ones relevant to the millennium, and the ones relevant to eternity. Now, he goes on to say, this is the most important time of all times. That is why God has allowed all these discoveries in the field of electronics and other fields, so that there will be the facilities required for that great manifestation of God through Christ, the angel of the covenant, in which God will be there working, the angel of the covenant that appeared to Moses in that pillar of fire. Well, you already know the specifications. You have also seen pictures of the model of the Great Tent Cathedral that is being built in Puerto Rico, and I support that project because it has a biblical prophetic basis pertaining to this end time. And in order to be fulfilled at this end time, it has to appear somewhere. And even if later on afterwards it would appear in other places where they are also good. In other words, big places as well. There will be many places and perhaps stadiums. Now, notice, all of that will be used. Because notice, there will be many places and perhaps stadiums and in other nations that will be full to watch the broadcasts. Doesn't that happen when there is a fight of some famous boxers? Doesn't that happen when there is also a broadcast of an important soccer game? So, all of that is already possible, and there can be no greater thing that has happened in sports or in politics or in science or in arts or in the religious world than what is promised to happen, and that it will be worldwide. So that's also going to connect with the two olive trees. It is going to connect with so many other things that are promised. And in order not to open up this mystery too much, I hope that you will be understanding and comprehend that this whole project is framed in what is promised for this end time. In other words, it is something that is being done within a biblical prophetic context. And notice, in this message as well, the sign for the unbelieving generation, which was preached on April 4 of 1999 in Cayey, Puerto Rico, he says, but the resurrection of the dead in Christ is coming, which is a sign. But when the world sees a sign fulfilled, if they see any of the dead resurrected, if they manage to see them, in other words, if, let's say, they were to see one of those who will be resurrected, they will not believe that they are one of the dead who resurrected. Why? Because even the disciples of Jesus Christ, when Christ resurrected in the first day, they did not believe that he had resurrected. They did not believe those who saw him resurrected. And even when he appeared before them, they did not believe. And he said to them, now notice that he will actually show them perhaps certain things, but notice that that sign, which is the one we are going to see a bit further on here, by seeing globally, the majority will see it. Now, those who won't be able to see it for some reason, don't worry, because then it will be shown to you and you will see. But even those who haven't seen it and didn't see any of the ones who will resurrect and are one of the unbelievers then, and they see one of them who resurrected or even the two olive trees, they won't believe either now, because it won't be revealed to them. Now, he goes on to say, and he said to them, see, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as I have. They thought that he was a spirit, and now the very thing they had hoped for, because Christ has promised it, they did not believe it. A bit further on, he says, then notice, there will also be a great tribulation, which will also be a sign for the unbelievers that they will be living at the end time. In other words, if with the prophetic signs of blessings for the church they do not believe, in other words, if they do not believe what God is carrying out today, then notice, then they will believe with the signs of the divine judgment when they are being poured out upon earth. That is why many will say, but wasn't there supposed to be a rapture? Wasn't it promised that there will be a rapture before this? They will be told that already happened. That's already in the past, he goes on to say. And there will also be another sign that will have to do with the dead and resurrection, which will be the sign of the dead and resurrection of the two olive trees. Now, notice, they are already adopted there. By the time this happens, they are already adopted there, according to Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 to 7. And that sign will even be seen on television, but with that sign, they will see it won't be for their salvation. With that sign of the resurrection will come such a great earthquake that thousands of people will die. About 7,000, it says, will die there in the city. And it is not known how many more will die throughout the whole world if the whole world is shaken, as it happened in the crucifixion of Christ, where there was a great earthquake in which the rocks split open and there was a resurrection. Because notice that resurrection of Jesus, which he had already spoken about, in other words, he had already prophesied that it would be carried out. He, in a writing of a message, let's see if I have it here, he left us written there. It says, no religious leader prophesied, said that he would die and would resurrect after 3 days. In other words, at that time and from that time of Jesus and beforehand, no one said that he would die and would resurrect after 3 days. Just like at this end time, none of the messengers, nor any leader, no minister has said that after 3 days he will resurrect after they kill him. Revelation 11, after 3.5 days he will resurrect. The instrument at this end time who is alive in the midst of the church is the only one who has said that, and that will have fulfillment. That is the sign that human beings will see. Now, notice here in a writing that he also left us, where he says, a great earthquake, and he writes, an earthquake when the sixth seal was opened, a great earthquake when the two olive trees resurrected. And he also writes there, when the seventh angel sounded the seventh trumpet, there was a great earthquake. Now, notice in the book of quotations, on page 57, which is an excerpt from the message, the 70 weeks of Daniel, which is on page 155 from the book that you have, and from this version is the 135, this excerpt there, which in the book in English is the page 116. He tells us on page 57, in the paragraph 499 from the Book of Quotations, he tells us, and oh, watch, or look, these three prophets, or these two prophets, when they rise up here, here it says, and in the middle of the week they are cut off like that, and here, in the message, in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel, where he says, and in the middle of the week, it says, he writes there on the top, in the middle of the 70th week. And if it is in the middle of the 70th week, there is stating that it is before the 3.5 years. And in the middle of the week, they are cut off like that, and then starts the battle of Armageddon. Then God begins to speak. And here in the book, it says, then God begins to speak himself. And then he stands, and he writes here in quotation, he writes, resurrection. And begins to fight. Them prophets are striking the earth. Here in the book, it says, them prophets are striking the earth. They are preaching the name of Jesus Christ. They are baptizing the same way. Here it says they are baptizing the same way, and many are following them. They are doing the same thing that the first Pentecostal fathers did, and many are following them. There, he writes on the right, in the book he writes, they baptize. And he writes at the top, in the middle of the week, and he also writes, they baptize. In other words, at that time, in the middle there, when the 70th week stopped back in the time of Jesus, which he fulfilled the first part of the 70th week, it stopped. But notice how far that stage extends, where we see the baptisms, and notice that in 2000, there our brother William spoke to us, because everyone, it was believed that we were already in the dispensation of the kingdom, and notice that to carry out baptisms, altar calls to receive the Lord as your only and sufficient Savior, and be baptized in water and receive the Holy Spirit, that is, under the dispensation of grace. And until 2000, well, it was thought that we were in the dispensation of the kingdom due to what was being carried out, the work that was being carried out, and the preachings and the messages. But when he says that there, and even then it wasn't understood openly, then it came to be understood later on and fully now at this time. Now notice that there he says, on that page 57, on 499, he writes, they preach the name and baptize in the name of Jesus. And baptizing in the name of Jesus. And he writes, they baptize Moses and Elijah. And he writes, die before the 3.5 years. When is it that that prophecy and that vision that that sister saw of Revelation 11, of that instrument where the Holy Spirit is operating those ministries before the 3.5 years, it is not in the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, although in some messages you see that he leaves that hidden there and he doesn't open up that mystery. But notice, with everything that he left us, and in the opening of the sixth seal and in the opening of the seventh seal, the exact times are being made known. That is why he says in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel that it won't miss by 1 minute. It is being spoken of clearly. In other words, opening that mystery. Now, remember,
that when a seal is opened, there is a religious disturbance. When a trumpet is opened, there is a political disturbance. Now, if it is before the 3.5 years, that is why in the 70 weeks of Daniel, he tells us there that it is in the middle of the 70th week. In other words, that is the time in the middle where at the end of that time, where the church is about to be raptured, that's where the change from grace to the dispensation of the kingdom takes place. And that is where all of that takes place. Now notice something here. Because he says that Moses and Elijah baptized in the name of Jesus. He says, baptizing in the name of Jesus. Here, in the book of the 78 weeks of Daniel, he writes there, in the middle of the week, and he writes, they baptized. Now, notice in a message that he preached, titled The Great Voice of Trumpet in the Exodus of the Last Day, which was preached on January 9 of 2000 in Cayey, Puerto Rico, he says, I want to tell you that a stage is coming, and it seems like it's beginning, where thousands of people will be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by and in the age of the cornerstone and by ministers of the age of the cornerstone together with the messenger of the age of the cornerstone. They will be baptized, not only the elect, but also thousands who will come at the end to enter into the program. Although after we are transformed, those who will enter will go through the great tribulation, but we will be ready, prepared, and transformed, and then we will go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now notice, a lot of things that he spoke together catch our attention there in that paragraph that we read. But now they are understood completely. But because notice, in the first coming of the Lord, it tells us that Jesus wouldn't baptize. But notice that since it was spoken and God kept and hid that mystery so well, that ministry would be in the midst of the church bride. In other words, it would be a minister belonging to the church bride, one redeemed by the blood, who, notice, God, and in whom God will be fulfilling His coming. Now, notice, in 2000, the baptisms began, and in 2002, notice, there was already an instrument, a ministry, that was baptizing. Those baptisms were carried out up to a certain point, and then the co-pastor continued there in Puerto Rico. I started from some time first, and notice, then my co-pastor continued, William Perez. Now, notice how everything that was spoken by Reverend William Branham and everything that was spoken by Dr. William Soto Santiago, we then see it being fulfilled. In other words, it all had to be fulfilled the way that this prophecy would be carried out and fulfilled. In other words, notice what Reverend William Branham spoke in the 70 weeks of Daniel, that they would come baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, was fulfilled. In other words, that instrument in whom the Holy Spirit would be operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah, that instrument, even without knowing it, was fulfilling that prophecy that our brother Branham spoke. And also, what our brother William spoke there in that message that we were reading. Because we see that our brother William did not baptize. He could not baptize because, notice, he was not the instrument in which that prophecy would be fulfilled, that those ministries would also be baptizing along with the ministers of the age of the cornerstone, ministers who would come up to the age of the cornerstone, because not all of them have come up. Instead, there are some that are going backwards, going back again, because, notice, the Holy Spirit has done the work of taking them out. out. But then further on, that voice is heard, which at this end time has said, come up hither. But since they do not like the door, they do not like the voice, they do not like the way in which God is fulfilling that, then they prefer to go back to Laodicea again, and they shut themselves in there. They go in there where the devil is incarnate, there in that age, that is the throne, the seat of Satan, and that is when it confuses both the minister and those who are listening there in that place get confused. They go back, which you have already seen. But notice that all of that is for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Now, notice. Our brother William continues to say here, let's leave that sign alone, because that sign will be seen by the unbelievers. But when that happens, remember, the two olive trees will already be adopted, and that is why that resurrection can happen. Just as Christ was already adopted when he died and then he was able to resurrect, that is the only instrument who, being alive, can lay down his life to take it up again, a glorified and eternal body that comes back in the resurrection, which is given. That body is given to those who will resurrect, cannot die. Only a body of flesh can die. And that same body of flesh can resurrect if it is adopted. In other words, he can lay down his life, and when he resurrects in an eternal and glorified body, then to never die again. Although, notice, sometimes he plays that in the 3.5 years. But notice that the scriptures have multiple fulfillment and multiple revelations. That last instrument, which being adopted, that body of flesh can lay down its life, and when he resurrects, that sign already, which will be seen worldwide, then he resurrects in a glorified and eternal body, as it happened in the first coming of the Lord. It's all so simple. What happens is that this same simplicity is a divine humility and simplicity. Many say, but this is so simple and so great. But others says, no, that cannot be. See, the simplicity is a veil to the unbeliever. Now, when we speak of simple and simplicity, that refers to when the person's understanding is open and he can see it. When it is not, it is complicated and they cannot see it. They cannot say it's simple. It's simple. Now notice, he says, just as Christ was already adopted when he died and then he was able to resurrect, let's leave that little part alone there, since that is for another stage. Let's make the most out of our time in this pre-adoption part, seeing the signs of this end time, recognizing them, and thus being aware and prepared to be transformed in this end time. And further on, he says, we have already seen that they will see many signs, but they will not understand. But then they will see one, the resurrection of the two olive trees, and that one, they will see it and understand, because they will see it with their own eyes, even if it is on television. Now, later on, let's read here a paragraph from this message, or two paragraphs of this message, The Order of Transformation, which was preached on December 12 of 1976 in Calle, Puerto Rico. It says, we saw that Moses and Elijah have to do with the resurrection, and they are the ones who brings the resurrection. Who brings the resurrection? Moses and Elijah. None of the messengers who have left have brought those of the sixth dimension. Therefore, they were not the ones in whom that promise was fulfilled. We find that the people of the sixth dimension say that they are waiting there. And when the fourth Elijah went there, they told the fourth Elijah that the Lord would go there to the sixth dimension. And where he would go? To Elijah and judge him, and you will be judged, and then we will return to earth and take up bodies. How? And what is that? Resurrection. That is why he tells us on page 12, watch how it moves. Let's see there, From paragraph 96, it says, now, it's written between the lines a lot of times, when we get our big tent up here somewhere, we'll take plenty of time and go through them in between the lines. Watch the resurrection thing and how it moves in there. And there he writes, in the tent equals the resurrection, because it is in the midst of the church bride where that great tent cathedral will be and where those ministries are operating, that is operated by the Holy Spirit, those ministries of Moses and Elijah, and in the midst of that work, of that labor, the resurrection will take place. Now, he continues to say, do you see it there? When the saints appeared there, they appeared when? When the Lord resurrected, and there was an earthquake in the resurrection, and that is how it will happen here. With the resurrection of Moses and Elijah, there will be an earthquake, and the saints will appear. The saints cannot appear after the great tribulation. Those who are in the sixth dimension, that is, they cannot place the two olive trees dying in the great tribulation. The ones who will resurrect, they will resurrect before the great tribulation, and they will resurrect because they will first receive in heaven, in the sixth dimension, the coming of the Son of Man, that is, the ministry of Moses and Elijah, the instrument. They will receive him there, and after 3.5 days, they will return to earth. That happens before the great tribulation begins. Just like the sealing of the 144,000 also takes place before the Great Tribulation, which he says on page 300, let's see, 413, I think it is, where he tells us about this. Let's see there. 413 of the seals from the book in English, it says, but Jacob said, I am not going to leave you. You cannot go. I'm going to stay right here with you. See, I want these things changed here. That's that 144,000 and the money scheming bunch and things like that. When they see the true, genuine thing to get a hold of, there stands Moses and there stands Elijah. Amen. They wrestle with God until the 144,000 of the tribes of Israel are called out right there. That's just before the tribulation period. And notice that in some messages, our brother Branham places those 144,000 being sealed during the 3.5 years. Now, one has to see which 3.5 years he is referring to and the revelation, because prophecies have multiple fulfillments. Notice, it has multiple revelation, and that is where God hides it from the unbelievers. He hides it from those imitators and impersonators so that they do not deceive the elect, but the elect cannot be deceived. Now, he goes on to say, and the saints will appear. Remember that he speaks to us about this on page 373 from the Book of the Seals in Spanish, where he says there that the earth will start going into great spasms and great shakings as it was in the resurrection of Jesus. In other words, in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord and the saints of the Old Testament. He says they were there for about 40 days. The resurrected saints were there about 40 days. And how long will they be here? That is really a good question, and the fourth Elijah can answer it for us. Let's ask him to tell us then, to tell us about the resurrection and the time we will be here. Now, you saw then, after the resurrection, the time will be here. It will be a month or something like that. See, that gives rise to what? It may be less, or it may be more, but it will not be so much. Rather, we wish it would be less. What does that depend on? Look at what it depends on. That is why he says, or something like that. Why? It says, Brother William is reading from that quote from 11a, paragraph 112. He says, the next thing will be a sweep that'll grab that little group together. In a month or so, she'll be gone as soon as she's gathered together. That is, let's see there, the 11a, which our brother William quoted it there. In the paragraph 112, he says, "Can't you see that we are at the end time? It's all over. The next thing will be a sweep that'll grab that little group together. In a month or so, she'll be gone. As soon as she is gathered together, well, we're at the end. There is no hopes left, nowhere. Run to Christ, people." And above that, he writes, Moses and Elijah, that is, to tell the church right today, people of God, run to Moses and Elijah. In other words, African people, people of the Americas, Central America, North America, those who are there, Central America, the Caribbean, South America, the whole world, wherever an elect of God is, run to the Anointed One, run to Moses and Elijah. And there he also writes at the side, a month, and he draws a cornerstone, a month, and he writes, in 30 days, and above that he writes, a sweep equals in a month. And our brother William continues to say, oh, and what if she is gathered in 15 days? Because the thing is, as soon as she is gathered, the message for all nations, let's stand up and thus leave in this subject the message for all nations, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.